chapter 3, and verse 8. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word which you have given us today. We believe, Father, any man, as Brother Branham said, could open the book and read. But it takes your Holy Spirit to give us understanding. And so we ask for your divine intervention in the service this morning, that you would make it so plain that, Father, we couldn't help but to understand. And so we just pray, Father, that you would take hold of us and your word and feed us, Father, as the great El Shaddai. And so, Lord, we commit our growth in Christ. We commit our walk step by step unto thee in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we'll continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. And this will be number 25 in our series. And we'll subtitle this, Walking in the Light Step by Step. And again, we'll take our thoughts from paragraph 25 of Brother Branham's sermon on The Masterpiece, where we read last night in his opening prayer. He said, Father God, thy word is a lamp, the light that lights the path of every believer into the presence of God. As it carries us like a lantern in our hand, you've not provided enough that we should see the end from the beginning, and I walk with faith. But as a man would travel through a dark forest at night, and that's where we are, the light that he holds only provides for step by step. But the path, though leading upward, just walk with the light, and may the light shine today upon the word to lead us one step further to the kingdom of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last night we began looking at three points that Brother Branham made in this particular prayer. Point number one, he said, you've not provided enough that we should see the end from the beginning, and I walk by faith. Paul said, the just shall walk by faith. Faith is something that's not seen. It's the evidence of things that are not there. And so we know that there's an evidence. If it's an evidence, you say, well, there's got to be something there to have an evidence. But faith is not seen. It's like Brother Brown said, it's a sixth sense that God gives you. You know, we have a sense of seeing. You can see something, but if someone else couldn't see, then you could describe to that person what you're seeing, but they can't see it. But at least through words then, through hearing, they would understand what you're seeing. Well, faith is an evidence. It's a sight. It's an inner sight that we have. It's something that God gives us to be able to see. He opens our eyes to see. Number two, he said, but as a man would travel through a dark forest at night, and that's where we're at. And so last night we looked at the gross darkness upon the people and the gross darkness upon the nations. And we saw how they left the word and they entered into gross darkness, and how that God has prepared for us a way through, which is the lamp, which is the word, and the Holy Ghost upon that word. Now, point number three, he added that the light that he holds only provides step by step. But the path, though leading upward, just walk in the light. Or actually, he says, just walk with the light. And may the light shine today upon the word to lead us one step further to the kingdom of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this third point is what I would like to focus our attention on this morning. Brother Branham speaks here of God's light as only providing enough for us as we take each step. And in the first point, he said, God has not provided enough light for us to see the end from the beginning, which basically is speaking the same thing. Now, if we had the eyesight to be able to see the end from the beginning, I think every one of us would be multimillionaires, because we would also probably take advantage along the way of things that we know past tense, looking backward. And you could say, well, you know, like if I would have bought that lot when it was $4,000, today it's $400,000, I would have made a lot of money on that. But God only gives us enough light to take things one step at a time. And many times our fears blind us to opportunity. Now, I'm not just talking about things like that, but you know, I can look back at my own life and I've had several opportunities come across where I could have done something like that. Now, I remember back when I was teaching in high school at a place called Prior Lake, And there was a lot on the lake, in Prior Lake. It was $4,000. 4 years later, I looked at that same lot, and it was, I think, $28,000 or $40,000, somewhere around there. It had just, you know, tenfold it had increased. And today it's probably worth, you know, close to $400,000 because lake property in Minnesota is very, very expensive nowadays. And this is a lake that's close to town and everything else. So, you know, it's just there's things that happen in our life that if we could look back at them and say, I wouldn't have made that mistake. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done that. But you see, God only gives you enough light to take a step at a time. And that's where we need to be careful as Christians, is to walk by faith. As Brother Branham said, if we could only see the end from the beginning. He said, and people came to him and said, Brother Branham, you know, they're saying this about your mother. And he said, oh, just forget it. Just leave it alone. They said, well, Brother Branham, that concerns you. And he said, look, he said, if I was always, you know, if I listened to everything that come about, he said, I'd be looking this way, looking that way, and I he said, and it would take me down. He said, but I keep my eyes on the end of the road. I keep my eyes looking ahead. Well, see, when you're holding a lamp out in front of you, you're not looking behind you. The lamp's in front of you, then you're blocking the light from behind you. And that's the way it should be. You shouldn't look in the past. Bury the past. Forget the past. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and move on. You can't undo mistakes that you've made in your life. So you have to take what God has given you and do the best with it from here out. Hold the light in front of you. Never look backwards. And we're going to look at that today. Now, so this third point is what I would like to focus our attention on this morning. As I said, Brother Branham speaks here of God's light as only providing enough for us to take each step. And in the first point, he said, God has provided enough light for us to see the end from the beginning. Or God has not provided enough light for us to see the end from the beginning, which basically is speaking the same thing. In other words, Brother Branham is speaking of walking in the light step by step. Therefore, the light that God gives us is not one big dose that will see you all the way through. The light that He gives is not enough to last you from birth to manifested son. It's like eating. You must eat every day to keep your energy level at a certain peak, a certain level. They have not developed a system yet or a pill yet whereby you can eat just one big feast and live on that feast the rest of your life. It just doesn't work that way. And neither has God made man to eat one big spiritual feast and then live on that for the rest of his life. God brought Wesley along. God brought Luther along. God brought these men of God along with a message for the day in which they lived. But the people that focused on that one feast failed to recognize when God turned the corner again. Now, I don't believe there's any more corners to turn, but I do believe that the word that God gave us in this hour is not to be just looked at and say, well, you know, bless God, there's 1,288 messages and that's all of it, and you know, there's no more further illumination. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you can take 155 sermons from one of these sermons of Brother Branham's, that's further illumination. It's not a new word. But it's looking at that word and being illuminated to that word. And that's what we're talking about. Not one big feast. And then we say, well, bless God, we had our prophet, so you know, no more fivefold ministry, no more nothing else. Or bless God, we had a teacher, so there's no more teaching. As Brother Vail said, people say, when I'm gone, there's going to be no more teaching. He said, that's wrong. He said, the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And he said, as long as the Holy Ghost is here, there's going to be teaching going on. Because the Holy Ghost does the teaching. You see? So as I said, it's like eating. You must eat every day to keep your energy level at a certain peak. And they haven't developed a system yet whereby you can eat just once for all. And that's going to see you all the way through. Now, I heard a minister one time boasting, and that's not uncommon. I guess most they're human beings like anybody else, and most people you find, if they have any accomplishments, they begin to boast about those things. But when we see the sovereignty of God and understand the sovereignty of God, how can we boast? What have we got to boast about? What do we have that God hasn't given us? But I heard this certain minister one time boasting how that he hasn't changed what he's been preaching for 40 years. Well, I'm sorry for that man. Because revelation is progressive just as life is progressive. You do not start out as a fully grown individual. You start out as babies. And then you grow and you add cell to cell to the body. And as you eat the food, it breaks down and feeds the blood. And the blood feeds the cells, and the cells get nourished and they grow. And the body grows. and it gets strength and energy from the nourishment that you take into your body. Now, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. Can you imagine eating 40-year-old bread? I don't care how well they put, how many preservatives they put. If they put enough preservatives, it'd be like a brick. I suppose if they made it with cement instead of wheat, it might not get putrefied, but have fun eating it. But man does not live by bread alone. And if this man has not changed his diet in 40 years, then he has not grown spiritually in those 40 years. And it's very apparent when you listen to his sermons. Bless God, I hunted with the prophet. Well, so what? Big deal. I've been walking with Jesus Christ. What's the deal? Okay, I don't mean to get sarcastic, but because revelation is progressive, and we should be growing and changing from image to image and from glory to glory, and if you're not changing, you've got to be dead. Because dead men don't change. They just rot. Dead men don't grow. Dead men don't increase. Well, except for those recently dead. They get bloated. But after the bloating, then the maggots come in and they just decrease and they decrease and they decrease. And I don't mean to sound crude. But what I'm trying to get across to us is if we haven't changed, we are dead, dead, dead. And we need to be born again. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an open face. Open face, no creeds, no dogmas, but an open face, beholding as in a glass, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the opinion of the Lord, the assessment of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord. That word glory is a Greek word doxa. He says we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, assessment to assessment, judgment to judgment. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changing. God wants us to be renewed daily. Now the Apostle Paul told us here that when we look into the mirror of the Word, we are changed into the image that we see in the Word, which is Christ, who is our light. And then he tells us that we are changed from image to image and from glory to glory. And we know that this glory comes from the Greek word doxa, which is opinion, estimation, and judgment of God. So he tells us that we are changed into the image of Christ, who is our light. And we are changed from one opinion to another, and to another, and to another, until we come into the mind of Christ. Now, you all know the illustration. Turn off all the lights. Stand in front of a mirror. You don't see it. Even though your image is there, even though your body is there, you don't see an image in the mirror. But until some light strikes off of you so that what you see then in the mirror is not yourself, you're seeing the light reflecting from yourself. And when we look into the mirror of this word, we don't see ourselves anymore. We see Christ. Amen. And yet you're looking into a mirror. So you're seeing the anointing of God upon you. Now we're told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So we've got to have a change. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. So we're looking forward every day to a change. Now, therefore, if this man claims to never have changed his preaching, and he was a oneness 40 years ago, it's very apparent that he's still a oneness. And furthermore, we are all to be changed. That's our hope. And we receive our transformation by the renewing of our mind. In Romans 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again in Colossians 3 and 10, he said, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Now the evidence that you have put on the new man is that you have received a new knowledge. The knowledge of him. He says, after the knowledge of him. But what if you have not renewed your mind like this preacher that I heard? Then what? The Apostle Paul further said in Ephesians 4 and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now to renew does not mean to make new again. It does, but not in the way that you're thinking. Because if you're going to make it new again, something happened to it that it has to be made new again. The Greek word that was used here means to renovate or reform. And we do not renovate something unless it has become worn out or in need of repair. So he's saying your minds have become worn out. Your minds are in need of repair. And we do not reform something unless that person needs a change of the mind from that which was corrupt to that which thinks right. That's why we have reform schools and things like this. To change their thinking, to change the way that they perceive life. So when he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he's talking about reforming your mind. Getting all the junk out. Correcting all the errors. And we're told in Hebrews 6 that those who fall away from the once for all enlightenment, that it is impossible for them to renew them again, to reform them. It's impossible to reform them. In Hebrews 6 and 6, that they fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Therefore, what we must conclude from the reading of the Scripture is that if a man claims to have not changed, and he claims that he's been preaching the same thing for the past 40 years, and by now it would be 50 years for this particular preacher, because I heard him say this over 10 years ago, then to not change shows that you either are dead and cannot change, or you have crystallized your thinking like Lot's wife and have become crystallized in her thinking as she turned into a pillar of salt, or third, the conclusion we would have to make concerning that person that cannot change is that they have turned down the once for all enlightenment, as the Apostle Paul said. For it is impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now notice he said that they could not renew them to repentance. And we know that repentance is a change of the mind. So they could not reform them to a change of the mind. So these are not capable of renewing their mind. So what does that tell you about their character? It tells you they have crucified to themselves the Word of God afresh. So you see, I would not want to be in that man's shoes at the White Throne Judgment. Not for one moment. Why? Because he's admitting by his statement that he has crucified the Word of God afresh and he's put him to an open shame. Now you might say, Brother Kosorik, those are pretty strong words. Well, this man who claimed to never have changed, also called the parousia of Christ, puke. So we see that how Brother Branham's illustration of walking in the light one step at a time is very necessary to a life that is willing to be changed. Men standing around criticizing that parousia. Bunch of garbage, they say. It's false doctrine. So one of the brothers happened to be listening in. He said, well, what is a parousia? Not one of them knew what it was, but they're criticizing it. His brother Michael told the brothers in Spain, he says, how can you know if the sandwich isn't good if you don't take a bite? Come see, taste, and see that the Lord is good. That's the scripture for it. You see? Therefore, as we are in the natural, where we must eat every day to keep our energy, thus has God made us in the spiritual to eat from the tree of life daily, to keep up our spiritual energy. That's why in the New Jerusalem, the tree will change its fruit every month. Every month. Well, bless God, I'm only going to eat once every 40 years. You're going to die. If I've got a new diet every month, I'm going to try every... I can't wait for that fruit to change. And taste the new fruit every month. There's an old expression that says 7 days without prayer makes one weak. And if you did not eat in the natural for 7 days, you would become very weak in your body. And 7 days without prayer and the bread of life will weaken a man in his spirit. So point number three that Brother Bram says, the light that he holds only provides step by step. But the path, though leading upward, just walk with the light. And may the light shine upon today shine upon the word to lead us one step further to the kingdom of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember when the pillar of fire was on the scene and the people walked with the light when it moved and when it stopped for a certain time, they stopped with it. Now why was that? Because they didn't move until it moved. And when it moved, they had to move or it would have left them behind. And if they kept walking when it stopped, they would have walked out from the presence of the Lord just as Cain did. So you see, if their focus is on the light, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. does it cleanse us? Keep walking in the light. Keep your focus on Christ. Don't look back. Don't look on your sin in the past. Forget it. Bury it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And as Brother Ram said, I heard this from Billy Paul. Brother Ram said, if a person buries something under the blood of Jesus Christ, a sin in the past, the person that unburies it is guilty of that sin. So you want to be guilty of somebody's sin. If they put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, don't you remove it. Because the minute you remove it, you are guilty. Like the man that beat on his chest said, oh God, I'm glad I'm not like that man. And Jesus said, the other one just beat his chest and said, oh God, forgive me for my lowliness, my wicked ways. Jesus said, who walked out justified? Now, if you understand what the word justified means, it means totally forgiven. Not only forgiven, but forgotten. You never did do it. Now, if you hold somebody's past sin against them, and they put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and you know they put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're walking in the light as he is in the light, and you bring that up, you're going to have to answer at the day of white throne for that sin. That's all. It's now your problem. It's not their problem. It's like the man that wanted to fight, and I was too busy. I didn't even know the man wanted to fight. So he fought with himself. That's his problem. If you're around people that want to fight all the time, just let them fight. Just ignore them. Just stay away from them. Just let them be. They'll end up fighting with themselves. Some people just got to fight all the time. Maybe that's how they get their energy. Just let them alone, and they'll fight with themselves. And they're most miserable people. Because they're always picking, always. And Brother Brown said, if a person's always picking at people, he said, that person's lacking the Holy Ghost. He said, when the thorns out there and those cactus get real pricky, it's because there hasn't been any water for a while. They get pricky, they get edgy, they get, you know, to picking at everything. You see? But he said, when the rains come, those cactus bloom out into beautiful flowers. Those same pricky nature becomes soft and supple. And the bees come, and they get their honey from them, and, you know, the pollen, those things. The foolish virgin had oil in the lamp one time. Brother Ram said that they let it go out, and it got smoky and got dark. They couldn't see. Don't be in their number, because if you're in their number, you're going through the tribulation. Brother Ram said the reason why the foolish virgin goes through the tribulation, they didn't count the blood of Jesus Christ strong enough. So they have to give their own blood, which they think is strong enough. Now, I'm sorry, but my blood, I'm not shedding my blood for any of you. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to. I'm not even going to shed it for me. He's already shed his for me. That's enough for me. And I'm not saying because I'm chicken. I'm not chicken. I'm an eagle. I'm a lamb, but there's a once-for-all sacrifice that's already been done. I don't need to do it, and you don't need to do it for yourself. Just let go and let God. So point number three, when Brother Bram says the light that he holds only provides step by step. Now remember, when the pillar of fire led the children of Israel, if the pillar of fire kept moving on and they stopped, the pillar of fire didn't say, oh, I better stop. I better wait for them. The pillar of fire went on. And if the pillar of fire is moving on today, you better be open-minded enough to receive what God is doing. So the light represents the presence of the living God. And where there is the most light coming from forth from any ministry is where the Spirit of God is working at presently. Brother Vail used to say, speaking football terms, he'd say, like, when the man has the ball, you're supposed to block for the man. You're not supposed to try to take the ball away. And when you see God is moving in a certain ministry, and you see the ministry moving on with God, then get behind it and walk in the light of the glorious presence of the living God. Now let's stop and examine this step by step. This process whereby Brother Bram's telling us that God only gives enough light for a step by step walk in the presence of the light. Notice he tells us the light only provides for step by step, but then he adds, just walk with the light. So if you're going to walk with the light, then the light has to be walking as well. And John tells us in 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, he didn't say if you walk in the light as he is the light, but as he is in the light. If you're walking, he's walking. Now you're having fellowship one with another, and the blood cleanses you from all sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I'll know even as I'm also known. Again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In Colossians 3 and 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. When he appears, you appear. When he talks, you talk. When he acts, you act. You see? Not your will, his will. You see how the son, the attributes of a son are reflected in watching the nature of the Father and the actions of the Father, the speech of the Father, the doctrine of the Father? The Apostle John told us in 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now we're sons, but yet it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, when he shall manifest in his true character, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he truly is. And Brother Ram told us from trumpet gives an uncertain sound, he said, let's take that little something that's put around your heart tonight and say, you know that you're wrong. Now raise up your hand, all right? You stepped on the log of his promise, the tree, the cross that was cut down. Put your arms around this cross now and walk right up here and say, now I'm going to ride on it. Right now I'm going to believe it. I'm going to accept it. I believe it. I'll never change. I'm going to stay right with the word until that one's confirmed. And then after that one's confirmed, I'm going to reach right over and get on another one and start riding right on. See, the word by word, step by step, you'll possess everything that God promised you, for all things are possible to him that will ride on it. Ride on his promise, for it's certain to bring you to the camp. It'll bring you to the presence of God. So he's saying, look, when you've got a promise of God before you, and there's over 800 divine promises of God in this scripture for you. I gave you all books a couple years back at Christmas time. They had something like 800 promises of God in the Bible. Those were to be read by every time you have a need for a certain promise. The promises were laid there. You could look them up. You could read them. Over 800 promises in the Bible for the believer. Now, just because you get one promise answered from God, you don't stop the rest of your life and say, well, I can look back at that one day that I had a real blessing from God, praise the Lord. Now, if you're like me, one's not enough. Two's not enough. Three's not enough. Jesus said, ask abundantly that your joy might be full. How many sit down to a big, nice-looking steak? And you take one little cut out of it, eat it, and say, boy, that's the best steak I ever tasted, but just one piece is enough. Now, if you're like me or like some of the boys, one steak's not enough. Unless you're in Europe and you eat some of that steak over there, Michael, then one piece is enough. I don't know where they get their cows, probably from the Russian front. But anyway, if you've got a good steak, one piece, one little bite is not enough. And if you got the steak of the Lord, if you got the promises of God sitting here before you, just one won't do. You want another and another and another and another. God bless me with my finances. God bless me with my family. God bless me with my spouse. God bless me on the job. God bless me in the ministry. God bless me, you know, in all avenues of life. God bless me when I'm traveling. God bless me when I'm home. You see, in Deuteronomy, it says, you'll be blessed when you go out, you'll be blessed. When you come in, you'll be blessed in your storehouse, you'll be blessed in your fields, you'll be blessed in your animals, in your cows, in your you know, all the animals you've got. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your womb, your wife will be blessed in the fruit of her womb. You'll be blessed in your income, you'll be blessed in your, you know, in your ability to save, you'll be blessed in your ability to lend. All these wonderful blessings we got. Well, Lord, you know, if I had to choose, I think I'd like this one blessing the most. And so, you know, don't worry about God. You know, I know you're a busy person. So, you know, just give me this one thing. I feel sorry for you. When the whole skies are full of the divine promises of God and you sit back and say, well, you know, just one's enough. Well, I think just one brick will build me a house. Try it. Maybe if you're an ant, burrow a little hole in the brick. Well, I think one piece of tin will be enough for my roof. Okay, whose bed are you going to put it over? Your own? What if you got a double bed? Your wife's going to get wet. Your children are going to get wet. I think you need more than just one piece of tin. I think you need more than just one brick. Ask abundantly. Step by step, by step, by step, by step. From the end time seed, he said, we're asking him tonight for him to make his word plain and known to us and reveal to us the hour that we're approaching, for we do not want to stumble as not knowing where we're going. The man who knows not where he goes stumbles. And you said we were children of the light and we should know where we are going step by step. As packing a light. It shows not all the way down, but as we take the steps, and I pray, Father, as we take this step tonight towards this meeting, that we will see what the purpose of God is for us being here. And I pray to Thee, O Lord, that every hand that went up in the meeting tonight will be, and the purpose of that request behind the hand will be answered, for it's for salvation. God grant tonight that they will receive it. And if it's domestic trouble, straighten up the home, Lord. Give peace. And if it's for someone who is depressed, give mercy, Thy mercy, Father. And if it's for someone who's sick, let the healing wounds of God be sank down deep into their heart tonight. That'll bring forth a crop of good, divine health tomorrow. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Isn't it funny that God was known by 9 different attributes? Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Sikhenu, which is the God who is present. El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. I don't remember all of them, but God is a God of mercy. He's a God of peace. He's a God of healing. He's a God of prosperity. He's a God of all these things. And I'm not preaching a prosperity message. I'm talking about don't limit yourself to one attribute in your walk. Don't limit yourself to one aspect of God. You need salvation. We all need salvation, but we also need redemption of the body, a change of the body. We also need a change of our soul. We also need healing. We also need a good, sound mind. We also need to be blessed in our jobs. You see, there's so many aspects. Just take a step by step by step. From why people are so tossed about, Brother Bram said now. What do? Stay in the glory. Walk in the light. Walk step by step with Him. Ever holding to His everlasting hand. Eternal blessings of God resting with you. Knowing this assurance that God will not promise anything that He cannot do. See? So keep walking on and stop when God stops. And move when God moves. If the people had stopped when Moses, their prophet, had died, they would never have crossed into the Jordan, into the promised land. And if the people stopped when William Branham, their prophet, died, then they too will not cross into the promise of God. So we must keep moving on with the word. Brother Branham said it in his sermon, The Anointed Ones at the End Time. He said, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead, they're gone. So you think the word only came to pass when Brother Branham's living? You're dead, you're gone. The word is coming to pass every day. I see many scriptures, even the ones we read last night, being fulfilled around the world, where God said, I'll bring the sons and daughters from afar, and they'll come to the light in the time of gross darkness. I see it happening right now. I see God using this ministry as a fulfillment of some of those things. He also told Brother Vail in his audio tape, he said, would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, show the people the hour that we're living in? Because if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see? And then after it's over, then it's history. Now, you might inject that, Brother Lee. I don't know whether that's any good or not. But it's just a thought right there. Thanks a lot. Now, Brother Branham was a very humble man. And he tells Brother Brown the answer to walking in the light is to see the Word of God unfolding itself in the present tense, and then he almost apologizes for telling him that. That's incredible. Yet, that is the key. And his ministry was not made up of one big statement or one great sermon where you could point back and say, oh yeah, when Brother Brown, you know, when he preached the token, that was it, man, that was it. Or when the seals were opened, that was it. No, his ministry was made up of over 1,200 and some sermons. And with each one, we all took a step forward into the presence of Christ together. And in fact, that is how Brother Branham explains his ministry. And that is in fact how Brother Branham conducted his life. You talk to anybody that attended those meetings, they said when Brother Branham walked into the congregation, you could feel the presence of God with him. When Moses came down from the mountain, they saw the Shekinah glory coming forth from his face. He had been in the presence of God for 40 days. When William Branham, living so much in the presence of God, when he walked into the room, you could feel the presence of God with him. What about you and I? We showed you last night that he said, in that day, when the glory of God shall be seen upon thee. Are you walking in the presence in such a way that people know that you've been with God? That they can feel the presence of God when you're in the room with them. In the sermon called Testimony, Brother Branham said, I'm not a preacher. Anybody knows that. I'm not a preacher. But it's made up in a spiritual form of watching things and seeing things move. And forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. And it's just, that's my makeup. I can't help that any more than you can help your makeup. But God has put us, each one, in the body to do certain things. And I watch every little move. I watch every objective. I watch every motive. Because everything is governed by spirit. And in the sermon titled This Day, the scripture is fulfilled. He said, I watch little things. Just every little thing has a meaning to me. I don't believe that anything has to be happens to a Christian by chance. I think it's ordained by God. Because Jesus said he'd make all things work together for good to them that loved him. So therefore, I believe that every little thing in this little humble ministry that he has given me to help you people, to help everyone. And you all are a help to me, helping each other to get to glory. In that, every little thing has a meaning to me. Brother Branham, being very destitute at one point, his wife had been taken. His baby died in that great flood in 1937. He was so distraught, he could hardly live. Knowing that his decision not to go to the Pentecostals, God punished him for it. But you know, Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered as well. He put his hand to the high line. Next thing he found himself waking up at the bottom, not knowing what happened. The loving hand of Jehovah watching over his servant. He said he took his Ranger's pistol, he put it to his head, he wanted to commit suicide. All of a sudden, in the car, a few leaves started to stir in a little whirlwind. He broke down and cried. We see these little whirlwinds come by. Does it mean anything to you? Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to go looking for light bulbs that go out, as if that's some sign from God. But I'm saying that we should be sensitive as we step each way. When the Indians would walk by the light of the moon, that was their lantern, and they would be stalking or whatever, as they put their foot down, they would listen to hear anything. If they stepped on a twig, that crack, they'd stop. They'd listen. To see if there's anything rustling out there. And as they took step by step by step, they were careful in each step they took. And we as Christians ought to be the same. Every step we take toward the divine promises of God, We should claim every divine promise that we take a step toward. We're going to see that in the scripture in just a moment. And that is why all of us must become, as Brother Branham was, to watch things, to be observant, to listen to the telltale signs of the Holy Ghost in your life. The lightning struck, the earth quaked, the whirlwind came, but it was a still, small voice that Elijah heard. And if we are to walk in the light one step at a time, we must understand that God is the I am, not the I was, nor is he the I will be. But he said, I am that I am, period. So you see that's the very nature of God. And I think if we are to come into the image and the nature of God by the new birth, then we will become like him as well. Then our walk with God is progressive, and our growth in Christ is progressive. Then our understanding also must be progressive. From conferences, Brother Branham said, no matter what stage of the battle that you're in, if you backed up and said, I'm afraid of divine healing, I'm afraid of this, that, or the other, I'm afraid that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can go forward. Don't retreat. Don't come back. There's nothing to back up to. God is always go forward. If it's the line of duty, the line of the word, go on, move on. Well, you say, I know someone went into fanaticism, but that wasn't you, see? Your duty is to go forward. Until God gets through with you, you must keep going forward. From Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, now if we looked around tonight, and we go back to some of these great churches, all the way down through the ages, and say, this is it? This is it? If you don't watch, we'll be walking in the glare instead of the light. We're looking at something that's past, years past, looking back. Any man who drives a road looking through a rear view mirror, he's going to wreck up. That's right. That's right. You take, like some of our sisters trying, 50 years old, trying to look like they're 16. You're looking back. Look forward. Look where you're going. Look to where you're going, not what you come from. Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You must always look when you're going, not where you've been. If you want the rear view mirror, if you watch the rear view mirror, you'll wreck up pretty quick. That's been the trouble. That's the reason that Luther wrecked up when Wesley's light come on. That's the reason that Wesley wrecked up when the Pentecostal come on. And if we don't watch it, the Pentecostal is going to wreck up too. If you just keep on your toes to watch. If you don't keep on your toes to watch. You see, you're always looking back, referring to what somebody else did back there when we're commanded to look forward, to keep on going. Their prophecy happened in their days. This happens in this day. And the next happens in the next day. It's allotted out to the end time. And there's something that's supposed to be going on now, according to the scripture, the Holy Spirit on earth poured out upon the people. From greater than Solomon is here, Brother Bram said, we're always trying to look back and see what Moody did, what Sankey did, what Finney did, what Wesley did, what Luther did. Them men were of that day. Science don't look back and see what the science said. Why, 300 years ago, a French scientist proved that if a man would ever go to the terrific speed of 30 miles an hour, gravitation would take him off the earth. Would you imagine the modern science saying that? Today, he's going about 2,000 miles an hour trying to find something to keep from melting steel so that he can go 4,000 miles an hour. They don't look back and refer to him and say they look forward. But the church is always looking back. Let's look up. For their powers are limited, and we have unlimited power. For all things are possible to them that believe God. Real, genuine faith will punctuate every word of God with an amen. Not, well, it was for another generation. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From identified Christ of all ages. Man is always praising God for what he does. Always looking forward to what he will do. And ignoring what he is doing. It's always been that same thing. And everybody's got his own private interpretation. God is his own interpreter. God don't need no one to interpret. The Bible said it's without interpretation. It don't need man. God interprets the Bible himself. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That settles it. God said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That settled it. When God says anything and vindicates it, that's his interpretation of it. He said he'd pour out his spirit in the last days, and he did. There's no interpretation to it. It's already interpreted. Unbelievers might rise and skeptics might stand and whatever they might do, but God did it anyhow because he said that he would do it. He doesn't need anybody to interpret him. He does his own interpretation. He made the promise, people believe it, and he interprets it to them. He's the Lord that heals all our diseases. I can't tell you how he does it. He just does it. He said he would do it, and that's what he would do. So it's up to our faith. We couldn't do it there without faith. Neither can he do it here or any time without faith. Look, by faith God created the worlds. He wants you to have the same faith. It's not your faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that we live by.
Amen.
God in simplicity, Brother Brown said, it is strange to think that how God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple that it'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles and then turn it back around in that some simple thing in the simplicity of his way of working and reveal himself out again. I thought it made a text that we might study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way that he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I've made this old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he has done and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. From He Cares to You, Brother Brown said, man is always praising God for what he did, praising God for what he will do, looking forward to what he will do, and then ignoring what he's doing. See, they fail. And that's the way that they become history after a while of the polluted, see? Because they fail to recognize now. You can talk to the comfort that Christ will give once and say what comfort that he will give in the ages to come, but refuse the comfort that he's got here right for you right now. And Paul said in Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren with me, and under the churches of Galatia, Paul confronted other apostles who seemed to be pillars because they were too caught up into going backwards. Now notice he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. If the word doesn't do it, it isn't going to get done. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God the Father. And so we see by going backwards, they're going to lose their blessings. Now, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, he says, fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking to them when you sit at home. Do we do that? When you walk along the road, do you do that? When you're driving down the road in your car? When you lie down at night and when you get up? Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give you, your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commandments that I'm giving you today to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place that you set your foot will be yours. Now he's telling them, you're about to cross the Jordan. Every step that you take, claim it. Every divine promise of God that comes your way, claim it. It's yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. You see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse is if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away and turn the way that I command you today from following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that you're about to enter, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessing and on Mount Ebal the cursings. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road, toward the setting of the sun, near the great trees of Morah, in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah, in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws that I'm setting before you today. Deuteronomy 11. In other words, every step that you take, claim it. It's yours. From Deuteronomy 16 and verse 4, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrifice in the first day at evening. In other words, don't hold on to that which is past. Press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. From He Cares to You, Brother Branham said, man is always praising God. Oh, I think I've got a duplicate here. Okay. Excuse me. He says, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day of evening. Shall it remain all night until the morning. No leaven in your possession for 7 days. No meat that you sacrifice shall remain until the morning. How many of you like to go into the refrigerator and find a steak that was really good 2 weeks ago? And now it's got mold and slime and everything else on it. You say, well, you know, it was good then. It's got to be good now. Anybody enjoy that kind of stuff? If you do, you know, come up and... Well, actually, our kitchen's pretty clean, but when I was a bachelor, I could invite you over. You'd enjoy it. You know, in Acts 15, Paul warned the people of the false brethren that were teaching the people to go backwards. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said that they deviated from a vindicated word and they went backwards, not forwards. In 2 Corinthians 11, he called them false apostles, bringing another spirit, another message, another Jesus, taking the people backwards. In Hebrews 10, verse 26 to 38, Paul tells us that those who draw back do so to perdition. In Hebrews 6, Paul said if they fall back from the vindicated word, they're never able to repent and change their mind again. In 2 Peter 2, Peter warned us of false teachers bringing in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, causing the people to go backwards in the Pentecostal mechanics like Balaam did, and forsake the vindicated word. And in verse 22, he called it day-old food, vomit. He said, like hogs to their waller and pigs to their vomit, or dogs to their vomit. In Hebrews 11, verse 15, they left their country behind, searching for a city, but never looking back. In Leviticus 25, the gospel trumpet sounds, the jubilee is to set free the people, unless they love bondage. Then they would enter more fully into the bondage than before. They'd get an awl put in their ear. They wouldn't hear it anymore. So you see, all throughout the scripture, we see that God is always saying, move forward, move forward, move forward. It's God's way. Don't set your laurels on things past. Press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. From the paradox, now we find Joshua representing grace or some propitiation that it could not exist in the same time that the law was in existence. Neither does any message that forwards the people ever coincide with a past message. It will not do it. That's where you have trouble today. Jesus said, does any person take a new piece of garment and put it on an old, or put the new wine into old bottles? They perish. It bursts them open. They can't stand it. For modern events made true by prophecy, Brother Ram said, we're not living in a Pentecostal age. We're living in another age. We're living on up here in the bright age, the calling out of the church and getting it together for the rapture. That's the age that we're now living in. And from Turn on the Light, he said, sanctification served its time till it come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost has served its time until the Holy Spirit, which there's only one God, blends into the church or the church into Christ. That makes Jesus Christ reflected on the earth what he promised here in the Bible. So you see, God moves on. He turns a corner, moves on. You've got to go with him. From the rapture, he said, the life that come up through Luther was what made Wesley. The life that come up out of Wesley is what made Pentecost. The life that come up out of Pentecost makes the wheat, but they are a carrier. See, the real life goes on through. The message goes through there, but it's heading up into the wheat. And from the masterpiece, paragraph 122 at the end of the masterpiece, Brother Brown says, great Father of life, include us, Lord. Remember, in the opening prayer, Brother Brown talked about walking, having just enough light to walk step by step. In his closing prayer here, he says, great Father of life, include us, Lord. If we sin, take it away from us. If we don't want to be that way, Lord, it's not our intention. And we realize that we're living in such a horrible, dark day. As we said at the beginning, we're walking up a mountain through rugged places. Dim is the trail, but we're packing the light. May we see it step by step as we go now, until we meet like Pilgrim's Progress, till we finally catch the top of the hill. Guide us, O great Shepherd, O great Jehovah. Lead us by thy Spirit. And we know that we're far from the masterpiece, but we're looking where that we were hewed from, the real masterpiece. And in him we trust. Just take us to him, Lord. Grant it, O Lord. When Michelangelo saw that piece of marble, he didn't take a big old hammer and a huge awl and whack the thing and say, well, I got to have 3 or 4 strokes, it's going to be done. He took a little nibble here, stood back, took another little chip here. I don't know how many years it took him to do that image, but I know God's been working on me for 52. Some of you more, some of you less. It's a step-by-step approach. God is chiseling away at our unbelief. Let's just let go and let God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you. We are so thankful, Father, because even though it's a once-for-all enlightenment, yet that light goes with us step by step by step. Father, if you were to take a big axe and a big critical, crucial thing in our life and just completely destroy us, it might destroy us. But the way that you've been working on us, Father, your Holy Spirit is tender. He lays within our being. And when we do wrong, he's there to let us know. And when we do right, he's there to let us know. And so it's just a little chipping away, step by step by step. And when I think of the great monuments of mankind, where they built the great city up there in the Andes Mountains, Machu Picchu, the city was built one stone at a time. Father, we know that we are your temple. And as I said, you've been working on me for 52 years, working on Brother Vail for 91 years, working on all of us for the term that you've given us here so far. Help us, Lord, to get out of the way that you might finish the job. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.